This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 84, recorded on August 9th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact me or contact the show. Just send us an email, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv, or track me down on Twitter. That's just at Jay Collison. You can also follow the show schedule, where we tweet out announcements about when the show start time is. That's just at theAverageGuy.tv. We also have the links to automatically subscribe, download, or stream the audio or video podcast to iTunes, YouTube, Zune, Stitcher, or many of the other podcatcher of applications that are available out there on the front page of theAverageGuy.tv. Of course, you can always find us on the new, I'm now posting out to Reddit, so you can find us out there, YouTube, iTunes, Google+, or even Facebook, just by searching The Average Guy Podcast. And please leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones, any of the other things that are out there. I think in Reddit, it's karma. Leave me karma on Reddit. And it would be good to hear from you if you're out in any of those social spaces. And then don't forget, we just started, I just posted with a new designed site that Christian helped me with about a month ago. I just posted an Amazon link out there. And if you're going to buy something from Amazon, you can click through, and then we make a few cents for the purchases you make through there. So if you're already going to buy something from Amazon, just head over to theAverageGuy.tv, scroll down a little bit, maybe a page or so, and then you'll see the Amazon link. If you just click through it, you don't need to do anything more, and we'll make a few pennies off your purchase, help pay for the bandwidth. And I got to pay Christian's salary to keep him around, so make sure that you do that. All right. I want to get things started. Mike, you and I are in the final week of trying to give away this Drobo. We have been tweeting and Facebooking and getting the word out like crazy. I would say, here's what I would say to anybody who hasn't signed up yet. If you sign up now, your chances are good of winning the Drobo. Would you not agree with me?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah, so you don't. We're not going to tell you exactly how many people have signed up for it, but this isn't like the $250 million lottery, $250 million lottery that's coming up, where you don't have a flying chance at ever getting there.
I did some quick math, and I think your odds are at least twice as good as that.
Yeah, very good. So odds are good. If you want to win the Drobo, that's this Drobo S that's right here. It's actually this one. We're going to box that up and send it to you. It's really easy. So all you need to do is you head out to Facebook, and all the links are available on theAverageGuy.tv. Head out there. In fact, there's a little banner on the front page that says win a Drobo. Just mute, Christian. That's fine. That says win a Drobo, and then there's some instructions, and you go to Mike's page and you like it, and you go to my page and you like it. That's the minimum. And then you find it, there's a little form that you fill out there. That gets you, that's the minimum. That gets you in the contest. Then you can subscribe to our YouTube pages. You can, I always forget what the other one
subscribe
is.
Subscribe to, you can go on iTunes and leave a comment.
And leave a comment, which there's
what
been
is
some
it called? It's not a comment.
No, it's called a review.
Review,
what
yes.
It's called. Yes, you can go out to iTunes and leave a review. And that will also get you additional, links. Yeah. And so Rennie said, yeah, secondhand. Well, it's secondhand in the sense that I took it out of the box and I've been testing it, and then I'm going to take the drives out of it, and then I'm going to put it back in the box. So, yes. And Rennie, I've just eliminated you from the drawing if you don't want a secondhand Drobo. Sorry to hear. Well, he's in Australia anyway, so you open to U.S. residents only.
It's what, you know, you got to do a quality test on it before you ship it out.
No, I absolutely had to make sure that it was of outstanding quality, and we wrote a couple posts about it. And then, you know, and so if you don't want it, don't sign up. It's okay. But for the rest that do, it's free.
And contrary to my tweet yesterday, yesterday was not the last day to sign up.
Yeah, that's right.
Next Tuesday at the end of my show, August 14th, I think is the day, August 14th at the end of my show, which is around, let's say, 10 o'clock Eastern time, will be the last time you can sign up. At that time, I will grab the spreadsheet where all the contest entries go into, grab that, and start doing our magic on it. And then next week at this time, or sometime during your show, we'll announce the winner, right?
Yeah, we'll do it. I think we'll do it somewhere in the middle of the show. I said last week right up front, but probably somewhere in the middle of the show. And Christian will get to pick that. I promised him he would get to do that. Now let's talk a little bit about next week, quick. So we're gonna head over to JPEG to RAW next Tuesday. Your show starts at 8:30.
Eastern,
7:30 Central. Christian and I will be in, Christian and I and Kevin Schoonover will be on that show with you and Kathleen and Tim. And we're going to talk about storage and backup for photographers and different things that they can do to make sure that their data stays safe and secure. So we'll take our tech to your JPEG to RAW show. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday night during this time slot, 8 p.m. East or 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, you and Kathleen and Tim are going to join us over here, and we're going to talk about photography for the average guy.
That'll be awesome. I think that next Tuesday, the goal, because Kathleen has a horrible setup right now for backup. I think one of our goals should be to give her an idea on what she needs to do to fix that. I spent about an hour with her. I gave her some tips, but I think having the brain trust we'll have on next Tuesday should give her some real good guidance on where she needs to go. And she is a typical photographer, so that guidance that will affect her will be something that a lot of photographers and non-photographers will be able to use too.
Yeah. It'll be good stuff. It'll be good. So we'll, they say in the Ghostbusters, we'll cross the streams, and we'll see what turns out. But join us Tuesday night, JPEG or NavStudios.com or JPEGToRAW.com, and go out to the live site. That's 8:30 Eastern, right? 8:30
Eastern, yes.
Eastern, 7:30. I get, because you start on the half hour, and it always messes me up.
Yeah, we may eventually move it to 9.
Yeah,
I do start the pre-show music. I still have music.
I know.
I start the pre-show music at actually 7:30 generally.
I got a way to do that. I just haven't implemented it yet. So all right. So join us next week, and you know what the schedule is going to be already. And so no excuse to be late. We love you. Love to have you out there. All right. Mike, if you want to stay around, you're welcome to do that. I will introduce Christian. Of course, Christian is all things NASA at the moment. And Christian, congratulations on landing the Mars rover Curiosity. Great job, I'm sure. I was watching that. Did you get up? I know I pinged you.
No, I passed out because I got back from a trip over the weekend, and I was just exhausted. And I had set my alarm, and never happened. I just slept right through it.
So I started a hangout, and I wanted to see if I could get some guys to join me to talk about it. Mike, you and I spent some time together, and then I hung out in the Home Service Show forums for a while. And, boy, that went fast. Once that thing started going in, it went very, very quickly. And, Christian, I invited you, and you said, no, I'm going to go to bed, and I'll wake up in 2 hours to watch it. I never saw you come back on Skype. So I kind of figured that you were that you hadn't made it through. I honestly expected to see you, like, in the JPL.
No.
I thought, Christian's going to find his way in there somewhere, I'm sure. But quite an amazing feat when we talk just about the technology behind what had to happen and all the things that had to line up. I mean, I think it's only once every couple of years that the Earth and Mars line up in that that close to each other. And then, we have two satellites, I think, right? Two satellites that rotate or that orbit Mars today. And the timing was such that as the lander came in, Odyssey, one of the satellites, was rising in the horizon and could make a data connection and kind of track it all the way down to the ground. And then the amazing thing to me was just all the it seemed like a plan wrought for disaster, right? I mean, it had to get rid of the heat shield, and then it had to jettison the lander and get clear of the parachute, and then it had the thrusters had to work, and then it had to drop that lander down with cables, right?
And then So I mean, it was interesting because, I mean, you know, it's like the 5-year-old that goes, hey, check out this schematic. And, you know, that's really what it was at first. And then they're like, well, maybe this is going to work. And, it was really smooth. I think they were in with like 200 meters of their perfect center of impact. That's like hitting a target 10,000 miles away with a bow and arrow and getting it right in the middle. I mean, that's just incredible. Really great precision. Really some great technology on board. I mean, it's rigged far beyond what Opportunity and Spirit were, and those rovers were estimated the last 6 months was their initial mission, and Opportunity is still working. Spirit, I think, lost its solar power around 07, sometime around there. I could be wrong on that date, but Opportunity is still rolling around and sending data back. But Curiosity is different because Spirit and Opportunity were solar powered, and Curiosity is actually nuclear powered. And they're putting a 2-year minimum date on this one, whereas with the other ones, it was 6 months. And just to give it some context as to where I'm coming from, Langley Research Center is responsible for all the EDL, so entry, descent, and landing. And so there was a team on Center that helped do all the sensor work and the concept designs for EDL with JPL. So they did that with the Mars team. They did that, and right now they have a team working on the Orion capsule. So we got a team of guys out there, and they're doing a lot of really neat stuff. So,
yeah, pretty amazing that I was stunned at how quickly, you know, they had a 64x64 picture come back within minutes of landing, is what it seemed like to us. Now, we were 15 minutes behind, but the system, it must not be Windows that they're running on there.
Definitely wasn't Windows 8.
it just booted, although, Mike, I would say Windows 7 takes a lot longer to boot than Windows 8 does.
I think it was Vista.
But, it seemed to just boot up super fast and then already start doing what it was intended to do. And I saw a funny article on The Onion today that said the mission's over. They filled up their 2 gig, their 2 gig hard drive on the rover, and it's out of space. Can't do anymore. And I thought that was kind of funny that maybe it wasn't that funny, but. They got a lot of mission ahead of them, and I was looking today at all the pictures that were coming in on Google Plus, and they got, it's just dynamite.
I mean, go there right now and check that out.
Yeah, you know, the rover has its own. I think it's just @MarsCuriosity that it's its own Twitter account, and that's a human tweeting for it. I don't think it's tweeting at this point. It might at some point, but that was an interesting one to follow as it was landing, and then. Of course, I've been trying to follow all the NASA, you know, the various JPL and the NASA Twitter accounts as well. But there's pictures all over the place on that, and it's been amazing. Christian, I've heard everything's working so far.
Yeah, no, everything looks really solid. If you looked at some of the news press conferences, there were talks. You know, how much damage can Curiosity take and still do its job? But It literally got on there without a scratch and everything.
Yeah. Has it really moved yet? Good. Do you know? It hasn't moved from its landing, its resting spot.
They normally go through a process of checking through all the systems and doing the tests and getting the initial images before they start executing their roadmap.
Yeah. Other Jim said, someone said that the rover posts so many pictures, it's like a Facebook friend that you just got to hide. It's there's some good stuff, and I think that and I don't understand, Christian, when you say it's nuclear powered, certainly there's not a reactor associated with it. What does that mean, or do you know?
I need to check into the exact details, but I think it's the actual because obviously there's a solar component. I'm trying to think here.
And it'd be more like a battery than it'd be a reactor, but that because they're on Mars, I guess they can spew the most powerful battery. I'm not sure they're worried about radiation at that point, but. It'd be interesting to know because I don't that rover is the size of a vehicle and so I'd be interested from an average guy standpoint. What's it take to build a mini reactor of sort that nuclear powers your vehicle?
I'm checking. It is actually a nuclear generator.
Okay.
Yeah, they're nuclear generators, and the. Apparently, the solar panels were passed up in favor for these because they're
so no solar at all.
According to my source, no.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because the reason why Spirit and Opportunity were struggling and they were afraid they were gonna stop was because of the dust that builds up on those panels, and they they really don't have any easy way to clean those panels off.
If they just contacted Mercedes. Mercedes has these little windshield wipers that they put on the front of their...
Yeah, right.
Well, you know what a lot of cameras do is they take this inside of the sensor and just kind of shake it like that.
Yeah, it needed a little zzz, you know, right? You would call the rover's phone number, and then the solar panel would go zzz, shake the dust off. I think that's some amazing stuff that that NASA has done. Christian, can you give us, what kind of update can you give us quick on your, you're wrapping up tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's your last day?
So tomorrow's my last day. However, I was reoffered a position with Langley as a permanent part-time consultant throughout the year. So actually technically not a consultant, but I'm renewing my contract with Langley Aerospace Research Student Scholars Program, and I'll be telecommuting throughout the year, working with Content Analytics again and moving forward from there.
So they'll continue to give you things to do is basically what that's going to translate to. And then you'll so your connection to them will be through some kind of VPN or something, right, that allows you to do some work behind the firewall but not be there, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, very cool. Well, congratulations on that. That's a big deal. I mean, that's a very big deal to kind of extend that contract. I imagine that'll turn into something next summer, and who knows what's beyond. So, very cool. Well, I wanted to give an experience update. My son built this super gaming rig over the last 2 weeks. We've been putting it together. I mentioned it on last week's show. It's a Core i7 3770K processor is it an ASUS motherboard? It's one of the ASUS TUF motherboards. So it's the components are completely encased in they call it armor kind of thing.
Oh, those look nice.
Why you would need to do that, I don't know, but it looks cool, right? I mean, it's everything's covered. You can't touch anything. I mean, it's got little fans in it to keep those areas cool, and it's twice as expensive as any other motherboard. He splurged, and that's what he splurged on. Many of the guys, we posted the build list out at homeservershow.com, and many of the guys jumped in and made some recommendations. The best recommendation so far that I got on that, in the testing I've done, has been to go with the Dell UltraSharp monitor. We bought a 24-inch Dell UltraSharp right off their website. We actually bought a refurb. It was $279. And Tim was hesitant because he could get an ASUS monitor, same size, for about $100 cheaper than that on Newegg. And he was like, Dad, I don't know if I want to spend $100. And Rich O'Neill, who I had on the line with him, was saying, No, you need to listen, you need that monitor. Do it. If you're gonna spend some extra money, get that monitor. Now, I've always been a little skeptical. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll believe Rich, I guess, if it makes sense. So the other night, all the parts came in on Monday. So Monday night, he and I sat down, installed Windows on it. You know, John, my oldest son, is a cabling master. This kid can go in and make any box just, I mean, he gets, you know, those guys that can do that, they route the cables just right and in the right spots and the cases that are made for that. And he zip ties them all, and you can't even see them. They're all hidden. I mean, it's awesome. So that's John's gift, and so he did that. So I'm installing Windows. So I'm working on it for about 2 hours with him. We're getting antivirus on it. You know, the first thing I always do is I put Security Essentials on it. And there's a few other things that we do for him, and I got the drivers loaded. By the way, the Windows experience, before I loaded the drivers for the video card, he's got a 670, I think, NVIDIA GeForce, right? GeForce 670.
GTX 670. Wow, really, that's a nice
really,
one.
Yeah, really nice card. The Windows experience before the drivers was a 1. The Windows experience after the drivers, 7.9, which is the highest you can get on that. So
what does the card run? That's probably like a $400 or $500 card.
It was $399. No, yeah, $399.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. And the card he was looking at was $524.
Yeah.
And so I talked him kind of off the ledge onto that. But so So I'm on this monitor, right? It's just I'm on this monitor the whole evening, and I come back into my domain here. I got three monitors, and I look at my screen, and I'm like, God, these are just crap. How have I ever worked on these? You know, it was like Mike and you wear glasses. Remember the first time you or you saw and you were like, oh,
that's what the world looks like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can see. That's what it was like going from that ultra sharp to just these. You know, I've got a 24-inch. This one is a Westinghouse. I've got a HP one here and a Dell one here, and they don't compare. You can see the difference, and most people say, oh, you can't see it. Work on one for a while, and then.
Do you know if that's an IPS monitor or a TN monitor?
Yeah, IPS.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Well, maybe Christian knows better than me. I don't really know what it means either. I know the IPS generally has true 8-bit color and has a wider viewing angle, but the TN monitors have 6-bit color. And not as wide of a viewing angle?
Yeah, well, so the view angle on the IPS is 178 degrees, and it can output a 2560 by 1440 WQHD resolution, and it's supposed to be like 30-40% lower in its energy usage. Hmm. And that's got all the, you know, the display port, HDMI, VGA, DUI. So I'm actually kind of surprised that they're still I would think some of these high-tech monitors would start trending away from VGA because it's not a digital signal, but I guess
well, his has VGA, DVI, and display port out. No HDMI, which was kind of surprised me.
I think for most photographers, they tell you that you should spend the extra money and get the IPS monitors because it has a better color condition.
Yeah, amazing.
I don't know if the average user would actually know the difference in between a good TN monitor. Maybe you don't have a good TN monitor. Is it TN? Am I saying it right? Is that the other? If it's not IPS, it's TN?
What would I be having in front of me if these are just your average monitors? What do I have in front of me? LCD. I mean, they're LED.
Yeah, they're. Well, which ones are those?
That are in front of me.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just your standard. I mean, So I've got a Dell. It's a Dell 22-inch. I forget the model on it, but it's just the cheap monitors that you buy. You know, for the HP one is the one you buy at Best Buy for $99.
Yeah, I think there's
it's the. It's the S2031 on the HP is the HP one, which is pretty good. It looks pretty good, and as I look at them right now, I go, "Oh, okay, they're okay now," but the user experience was so different when I sat on that one for two hours, and then my eyes, you know, had adjusted to it, and then I got on these, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I do see a big difference in the sharpness."
The sharpness, okay, yeah, that's one thing.
Just color. I think color and sharpness is better. And you know, it was good enough for me that at the end of the day, I was like, I'll never buy a crappy monitor again. Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to go with something.
An IPS monitor should be better color and all that. But have you done anything to calibrate your monitors?
No. No, the average guy doesn't do that.
Well, you know how I always pull junk out, so you need something like this.
Now, what is that?
It's a Spider 3, and you know, put this up against the monitor.
Oh.
And then it calibrates it for color and for brightness.
Oh. No, never done that. No. But we didn't do anything to his monitor when we pulled it out. We pulled it out of the box. We ran. Yeah. He has DisplayPort. We need to get him a cable. We just don't have a cable yet. But we ran a DVI. DVI is the wide one, right? The white. Mm-hmm. It's got the white port. We ran DVI to DVI out on the card, and it works. It looks and works great. And the monitor even has, it's kind of nice. The monitor has two USB ports on it too. You can make a hub out of it, USB hub. And,
I'm on a Dell 24 inch right now, and it has the same thing. It's an older model from what you have. So probably not as good, but it's got the two USB ports on it, which are nice. The USB 2.0, but it's...
And is that an ultra sharp, or is that just the standard?
I think it's the standard. I don't think it's the ultra sharp.
Christian, my Dell is an S2209W. If you want to,
yeah, that would be an LCD flat panel.
Yeah, yeah, just your standard run of the mill. You know, we paid $179 for it 3 years ago. I upgraded the kid, so I have 24 in the center. I have a 24 inch in the center. I have a 22 inch to my right and a 20 inch. You know, that 22 inch Dell is to my right, and then a 20 inch Dell to, or a 20 inch HP to my left. And they're all great monitors. I mean, the 24 when it's time to upgrade, I will go to an ultra sharp. It's just the difference in price isn't enough, and it comes with a really cool stand, and the stand allows you to flip to portrait, which you know you need to pay a little extra for if you want to flip that screen around. We saw an implementation of five of those, all 27 inchers flipped up, and then they were all side by side going around this way.
Nice.
And I don't know what kind of video cards you need to have to run five of those all at the same time, but I imagine something a little bit of power. Yeah.
You know, the one thing you mentioned, the stand, you know, for you, Jim, if you're going to have multiple monitors, one thing to look at is going with not the stand that comes with it, but a monitor arm.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done that yet. I need to. I have VESA mounts on all these on the back, so I could do that. I don't know. It works. I've got right now, I have one of my monitors sits on top of a book, and one of the books is Windows 95 Unleashed. makes a good monitor lift. So it's I don't mind it too much. So, but yeah, maybe at some point I will. You know, as the kids have been moving out this summer, the ideas of the studio have been coming together. I doubt I'll actually get it built, but at some point I'll move from this mess into the studio, and it'd be kind of nice. So anyways, I just thought I would report back on that. It was great for me. He kind of let me in. Tim kind of let me help pick out these parts and work with them, and I learned a few things on this too. I learned that video cards are expensive.
Yes.
And that you can spend $300 on a motherboard if you want. He has a rocking system now. You know, we put a 60 gig OS drive in there for him, a 60 gig SSD OS drive that I actually, at the end of, after putting Windows, I got it down to 11 gig, which I was very, very surprised that I could scrunch it down that far.
How was the 3770, the Core i7 3770?
Just been rocking. We put an H60 cooler on it, Corsair cooler, mm-hmm. and his core temps have been great. So he's really, really, really happy with it. The one thing he didn't put in it was a sound card right away. So he's coming off the board sound card, and everybody says if you're going to put headphones on, go ahead and go with a good, you know, spend $100 on a good sound card and get the surround. Cause he's going to get those gaming headphones that have the various 5.1 built into them. Although I guess it's virtual 5.1.
Yeah,
Christian, you have a pair of headphones like that, a gaming pair of headphones that you use at all?
These are actually considered gaming.
Are they
as well? Yeah.
Do they?
They're really nice. I mean, you get some great bass out of these in stereo. I can listen to these and feel like it's surround sound. Yeah.
Now the cups are kind of small. At least as I see them, do they sit on your ear or do they sit over your ear?
They're over.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty comfortable.
Very comfortable.
And that's what's the brand on that?
That's the Sennheiser. It's just one of the mainstream Sennheisers.
I think the best quality audio that I've heard out of a pair of headphones, that mic is dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the guys was asking in the Home Server Show forums, I just saw his post, he was like, well, hey, what do you guys use for podcasting? And I think, you know, if you're not going to go with a mic like this, although Gary has, I think Gary's got a great mic for podcasting. He's, and I forget what he bought. Do you remember what he's using?
I wanted to say it started with a Z, but I could be wrong.
I can't remember now. He's got a great mic but that headset, what is that? How much did you pay for that?
For the boom?
No, for your headset. No,
oh, what'd you pay?
Yeah.
100 something, I think. Okay. I want to say 179, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it's a good investment if you're going to, especially in your application, you're moving around, carrying around a mic isn't convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to just pin mine to my shirt.
Yeah, just hold on to it, you know. Hi. It's like old school radio. All right, Christian, what do you got for us?
So, all right, this is, instead of deal of the week, this is deal or no deal.
Nice.
So,
I like it.
So, deal. If someone offered you AVG internet security for $10 as opposed to $50 for a one-year license, would you buy it?
No deal.
No deal.
Why?
Well, I'm really comfortable with Microsoft Security Essentials. And that has just been, that's worked for me. It's caught things when it needed to. It's alerted me when things have gone awry. I was working on somebody else's computer and I pulled their hard drive out and I put it in a dock. And as soon as that thing was in the dock, it was like, hey, you got some bad stuff on that drive. So that's just worked for me and it's free. But I'm just not into paying for antivirus. But I don't know, Mike, you?
Well, I have my Security Essentials on each PC, but I have Kaspersky at the router level.
So, okay. Yeah. So you're checking everything coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christian, for the average guy, though, for somebody who's paying, you think that's a good deal?
And better than Security Essentials?
That's hard. I mean, it's not that it's... It's a good deal. I mean, $10 is $10, but I know AVG is somewhat resource intensive. So
I used AVG for a lot of years. I used the free version. That was my go-to antivirus for people who needed it and didn't have it before Security Essentials came out. So what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of it. In the day, it seemed pretty light. You know, the trend for antivirus, right, is they start with antivirus and then they bolt on all these things, right? And then they bolt on enough that they're like, now we have a super suite and you should pay for it. You know, and they've got firewall stuff and they've got registry edit and registry cleaning and they're washing your dishes for you and, you know, they want to start selling to you. So that's been only my hesitation with these companies that are trying to make a profit off of antivirus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's that deal at? Where are you saying
that's the Newegg Shell Shocker?
Yeah. And speaking of that, if you're into Acronis at all, the Acronis backup software has been going on and off sale at Newegg. And it was as low as $9. Now, deal or no deal, Christian, AVG or Acronis at $9, which one do you buy?
Acronis.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is if you're listening to the show and you're not a Newegg, well, maybe you're still rich. If you do watch Newegg, you're poor. But their Shell Shocker deals lately have been pretty good. They ran that, so they ran this. You can't see it; the microphone's in the way. So there's my HP N40L microserver that was $250 the other day. I think we keep saying this that they're getting ready to clearance them out and get rid of them because the home server community has bought a bazillion of these things, but they keep selling them $250. So would you buy a microserver for $250? Oh, that's a bad question to ask you. You got tons of stuff. Yeah, you got tons of stuff. It's a good average guy server though. You know, if you were wanting to get into something that, you know, you want to try something, it's a 250, 4 gig of RAM, 250 gig hard drive, and the ability to load up more drives in it. It's a pretty good deal. So.
Yeah.
What else?
So we've talked on the show before about CrashPlan, and I'm interested to see what you guys think. A little connection to Raspberry Pi is that there's some guys out there who are saying the Raspberry Pi is a cool CrashPlan device. What do you guys think about that?
Where's the storage for the...
They're saying basically a large USB hard disk.
So you would plug that into the Raspberry Pi.
Right.
That's kind of the Pogo plug model, right? I mean, which is so you've got kind of a dumb device here. Well, it's not dumb; it's really smart, actually. And then you're attaching some hard drives to it. Yeah. I was talking with Zadler about that, and I was wondering how long it would be before they started using Raspberry Pis as storage controllers.
I mean, if you got a 2 terabyte drive for like $70-$80, and then you put the little Pi on top and put in a cute little case, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and what OS would you be running on that? Can you run Windows on it?
You'd be running ARM. The question is does Windows 8 RT run on it? Because it's supposed to be ARM. That's what'll be interesting.
That would be sweet.
So I think you'd have to get Crash Plan running on it, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, no, not saying Crash Plan itself. I think, Mike, and Christian, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The idea is, could you use a Raspberry Pi like the Crash Plan where you do, you're creating social backup?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would just use that for internal.
Yeah. Backup. So it, like the Pogo plug, right? Mm-hmm. You would set it up and attach a bunch of. And I think I've said this before. I think what would be cool is like a Raspberry Pi with like 10 USB ports on it, and you just plug in flash drives to it. So today, a 32 gig flash drive's $30, right? Wow. I mean, and stack those up, and then if somebody could write a Linux-based drive pool and pool all those bad boys together, you would have, now USB 2 isn't the fastest. Maybe you'd want to go with USB 3. That would be pretty fast. You'd have some really small, very energy efficient storage. And if, you know, so if you could get maybe 300 gig, if you had 10, 32 gig flash drives, that there's absolutely no, and right now the flash market is, the bottom's falling out. So the prices are just stupidly cheap.
Yeah.
So that would be small, it would be light, and it would maybe take 5 watts of power to run in that configuration. That would be pretty cool. So, Christian, has your Raspberry Pi been delivered, or is it still coming?
No, I think it's supposed to be here the last week of August.
Okay.
They really are backed up.
Yeah, they are. They're getting better, they're getting faster, but I think that'll be interesting as those things come out. Yeah, I keep thinking I want to get one in my hands, and then I keep thinking, yeah, I need a hole in my head.
Oh, come on. It's $35.
It's not money. It's time. Right? I mean, it's just like, God, it's one more thing to deal with. I tweeted the other night, I'm having trouble keeping up with Microsoft. They're releasing so many.
Oh, so a little interlude to our audience. I was having a personal laugh last night because, like, every 5 minutes I'd look and it would be a new tweet from Jim showing up in my deck. And I'm like, what is Jim doing? And he is ranting. I mean, he's ranting. I can't keep up with these products. I don't know how to use this. What? And it was just like a steady stream for like an hour of these posts. And I'm sitting here thinking, and 2 months ago, this was supposed to be the one-stop, super easy, uniform solution, and now I think that ain't the case.
Well, there's a lot of changes going on, that's for sure. That is for sure. And some of those that you were replies that you were seeing, I was conversing with some other folks, but one of the tweets I had sent out, somebody had, I think it was John Stussman, let me see if I can find it here, and I said, you know, there's some confusion around the naming scheme, so you have you got to see it, but there's just so many new things coming out now, and I think we talked about this on Home Server Show last night. Now in Windows 8, there's 4 different ways to do your email. So there's the new Windows 8. Oh, let's just mention you can't say Metro anymore, right? So if you haven't heard, Metro is out. Windows 8 Experience or something like that.
Windows 8 UI style.
Yes,
so trendy.
It's the Windows 8 style. So if you haven't heard that, you've been under a rock. There is no longer a Metro out there.
No,
Metro.
If you haven't heard that, it's just because you're filtering out all the crap that they're putting out for this thing.
And so no longer called Metro, but you have the Windows 8 email that comes with Windows 8. You have Outlook. If you have Office, you can use Outlook. You can use Outlook.com now, which I'm just in love with. I still think that's the best thing since sliced bread and peanut butter. And then you can have the Windows Live Essentials. They forgot to pull the Live name out of that. I talked about that last night. They have the Windows Live Essentials Mail. So 4 different ways, and they all look different. So, and they all do the same thing. They help you do your email. So 4 different ways to do that. I say ditch them all. If you need Outlook for, well, you need Outlook for your Exchange, and move everything to Outlook.com. That's been fantastic. That preview has been dynamite, and I now have all my accounts running through it, and I like it a lot. So, yeah. So Christian, you can ride me a little bit. I deserve it.
All right.
What else? Got anything else on the horizon there?
interesting that it looks like the NYPD has got this thing with Microsoft now for policing software, and I guess New York City takes 30% of the profits, but it looks like it's going to be utilizing the whole Windows 8 UI style, and apparently it's supposed to use this the city's comp stat to get geo patterns and then help figure out statistics for crime and stuff. So
sounds like a job for IBM Watson.
Yeah. So that's about it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. We'll wrap up Christian's Corner, which we never did get a jingle for that. We need some kind of jingle for Christian's Corner. So maybe when you get back, have you played much violin this summer?
I've had a bed in. I mean, nothing crazy because yeah. I've been working pretty hard. So
yeah. Well, you'll get back. I'm sure you'll get back and have to play quite a bit, right? You've got a full fall schedule ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, and now that I'm working 15 to 20 hours a week telecommuting, on top of school.
Yeah, you're going to be a busy guy. We'll have to talk about your podcast schedule and your SAT exam. Here in the coming weeks.
Don't you guys have a new podcast you're starting?
Not officially. Not officially. So hold that. That's okay. That's not
a teaser.
Yeah, there's a teaser. Yeah, there might be one out there. Just saying. could be on its way. Like it's like I need another podcast. Like I need a hole in my head. So, Mike, anything you're working on as we wrap this up? We're right at the hour. Anything out there you're working on from on the tech side of the house? Obviously, you don't have your Surface yet. Why haven't your tech guys got that for you?
They are on, I put them on notice that I want the first two they can get me as fast as they can get them, which I don't know when those are coming out. But
October 26th.
Okay, so if I don't have
RT version.
If I don't have two sitting on my desk on October 27th, we have an IT opening. We have an opening in the IT department.
Oh, man, they might have to go down to Best Buy and get those. Do you think there'll be a rush on those when they do start coming out?
I think there will. I think they're probably going to have a little bit of trouble getting them. But and I'm sure somebody's wondering, why do I need two? One, I'm not going to have two. I'll have one and then give one to somebody else to test. And our thought is that if it is a good, if it is as good as it looked in the demo that they did, then that could be an answer for some of our executives that we could use it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we got to test them before we just hand them out because Microsoft has a tendency to disappoint, and we need to see it. Is this going to be a home run, or is this going to be a disappointment? I'm really hoping it's a home run.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be.
It looks great.
I'm going to call it a double. They're not going to strike out. I don't think out the door it's going to be a homer, but I do think they're going to be back in the game, at least in the tablet space for some. In some regard, they'll be back in the game.
And then I guess early 2013, when the Pro comes out, we'll get a couple of those too and test them out.
Yeah,
things gonna be interesting with that is, will it have vents on the side with fans blowing hot air out of it? Because it's gonna be a Core i5, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the chip they originally. I don't think it's gonna be that chip though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that'd be interesting, a tablet that has hot air spewing out the sides of it or the top and bottom, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the power that it has, that it can offer, it can run full, Office and Lightroom. Not that we'd run Lightroom for a business setting, but what it offers is looks really appealing to me.
And Mike, let's not forget the Core i5s that you and I think of are first or second gen Core i5s, and not the mobile ones, and not some of the ones that have come out on Ivy Bridge that are mm-hmm. cooler and faster and more energy efficient, and they continue to make. I think that's what they announced, and I think that's why, I think that's why they're waiting until January or February for that thing to come out, because I think they're waiting for a new chip to come out. So,
I'm interested in trying both versions.
Yeah, me too. And I've said this before. I think in its configuration, Windows 8, now that I've been on it for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, on a laptop, I think a Surface tablet in its current configuration today running Windows 8 Pro would replace my desktop at work. Or my laptop at work.
Yeah,
not desktop. I don't use a desktop. I don't even have one. So laptop only, and I would immediately switch to a Surface device if given the opportunity to do that. And it would work great. In fact, I've said this before, I want to touch my screen all the time to do stuff. I'm like, can't do that. It's a laptop. So I could do, and now that and the only hesitancy I had is the mail app in Windows 8 is not very good. And now that Outlook.com is out and I have all my accounts in there, I'm good on email and in Office. You know, that's the one question is how good is Office 2013 going to be on a Surface? Nobody's had a chance to really mess with that. I've messed with it on a laptop and it works just fine with a mouse and keyboard. Yeah. What will it, when we start touching it, what will it look like? And
we would have lightweight users using the Office apps on something like that. If you're going to be a heavy user, if you're going to be in my accounting group, even a laptop's not strong enough. You need a power desktop because you're doing large spreadsheets that even a Core i7 will have trouble with. So, but for these users who are going to be mobile, you know, they just need to write maybe a quick memo or maybe just read one. Just read a small spreadsheet and be able to type out emails and that kind of stuff. So they don't need a massive amount of power. So it could be that the RT version is good enough for them.
I don't disagree. It's some exciting stuff. And like I said, I'm having trouble. Microsoft is iterating very quickly at the moment. I'm having trouble keeping up with them and all the stuff that's coming out. Just, we talked about this, Windows Essentials coming out 2012. Just remember, if you go out and you're going to try 2012 and you use Live Mesh, you won't use it anymore because it removes Live Mesh and you don't have a lot of good remote desktop capabilities native to Microsoft anymore. That's a little disappointing for me. I'm going to have to work around. I'm going to have to think through that because I had moved away from Log Me In and all those other pieces of software that did those kinds of things. So I'll have to rethink my remote, somebody hit me on Twitter and said, well, what are you really using remote for anyways? Well, when I'm remote, and I'm probably an edge case. This is where I'm definitely not the average guy. If I'm remote and I want to start a podcast or I want to do a podcast remotely, I have to have my broadcast server, right? And that always stays here. And that always guarantees a good, solid, connection and that it's kind of the hub for what we're doing here on YouTube. Well, if I can't get it to it, I mean, I got to get to it remotely. If I'm in an airport or if I'm at Christian's house or if I'm, at work, I need to be able to get to it. And so them removing Live Mesh definitely kind of threw a wrench in it for me.
You know, my son, and this is our main phone, I have that huge Galaxy Note still.
Right.
But our main phone really is the original Galaxy S. And he's able to, he's a lifeguard, like you were talking about your son being a lifeguard. He's a lifeguard. And when he's at a pool, sometimes he's there with no one there, so there's no duties. He may have his phone out, and he's using, I think, Log Me In to log into his home computer, and he's sitting there playing RuneScape or whatever it is that he's playing on his home computer through his phone.
No, you can definitely do it. It was really convenient for me to do it that way, so I'm going to have to make a change. So got some things coming up. Well, with that, we'll wrap it at this point. Christian, when do you actually leave to head back to Buffalo?
Tomorrow. So tomorrow all my folks are coming on the center. I got them some clearance for the day, and then I'll pack up the apartment and ship it on back out to Maryland for a day and then stop over back to Buffalo, and then my fall contract starts on a couple weeks.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, your summer's over. When's school start for you?
September 6th.
Oh, okay. Did you say that already and I wasn't listening?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
You said it and you weren't listening.
Yep.
Very, very nice. School starts here for our kids next week, so summer's over. My son worked all summer. He got 1 week of break, and then he'll go right back to school. But it's good. He got a monster rig out of the deal. So pretty excited. I'll remind folks that, like I do every week, you can catch us. We've got a pretty dynamic group out on Facebook. We're no JPEG to RAW, but we do have the ability to go out there. If you've got your tech questions that you're not getting answered anywhere else, give it a try out there. We don't know everything, but, just this week we had We had someone from JPEG to RAW, and her name is escaping me. Help me out with that, Mike.
Oh, Jackie?
Real quick. Maybe yeah, Jackie Kingsley, right?
Yeah.
In our group, came out, and she's been posing some good questions, and some of the guys worked really hard to get those answered. We worked through, she basically wanted to, had the question of why couldn't she see the actual image in Photoshop. Is that, I think that's right, in Photoshop. She was just seeing a thumbnail image and not the actual one in as the thumbnail. And so that's a hard question. I mean, that took a little bit of digging, and I know Kevin and a couple of the other guys tried to kick in. And so we appreciate you interacting. That's what we do it for, is so that you guys can interact with each other and get at least maybe there's someone out there who's experiencing the same issue, or we got some smart guys like Christian that hang out there as well and can answer the really geeky questions as well. Head out to Facebook. Just search The Average Guy Podcast. Join. You need to join the group to be part of the conversation. You can do that in Mike's group as well. And we'd love to have you out there. Next week is the Drobo giveaway, so don't delay. Mike and I will be tweeting like mad. Christian, you might want to block me over the weekend. I'm just saying.
I think we have some timed tweet releases.
We do. We do. We've been tweeting every day, and I know we got some coming up this weekend. And so get out there at a minimum. Just like the Facebook pages, and you're in. So get that done, and like them and fill out that form. I keep forgetting it.
Make sure you fill out the form.
Fill out the form. That helps us know who you are.
Nothing to lose. How hard is that? That's easy.
It's out there for you, and a gently used Drobo will be on its way to you, minus the drives. We'll do it all again next week, next Thursday, I think. Yeah, school will be in, we'll be back. God, it's just hard to believe the summer's over. And this summer, we could use a little bit more rain and some cooler weather. And we'll be back here at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv live. Christian, hopefully we'll have you from Buffalo maybe next week.
Well, wait, next week's the giveaway.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, but hopefully that's right. You'll be there. That's right. We'll have you from Buffalo, and we'll be giving away the Drobo midway through the podcast. And Mike, we'll have you back, so you get 2 weeks in a row.
And hey, this will be the first time in a long time you will have a girl on the show.
I know, guys, behave. Okay, I'm just saying. I don't think we have any JPEG to RAW gals out there tonight. I think it's just all the guys. Let me take a look at the
Jackie's
guest
out
list.
There.
Is she?
Yeah, she's
right, there she is, Jackie. Yes, okay, so
we were just talking about Jackie. Hopefully she heard you.
Jackie, close your ears for a second, okay? Because I don't want you to hear this. But all right, so Jackie's got her fingers in her ears right now. Guys, behave. Act like you've been around girls before, okay? That's all I'm saying. Just act like, okay. So Jack, you can.
You don't have to be telling that to us. You need to tell that to Andrew Morris.
Well, since Andrew's not here right now, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
And I can't give too much out. I'm just saying that we're working on a guest for our show where the guys really need to behave.
All right. So a little teaser on that. If you could read between, and that's code.
For something.
So, Jackie, thanks for coming out. Great to have everybody, and we'll be back next week. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So my 19-year-old went back to college today. And he had, he'd been a freshman living in the dorms last year. We didn't even send a car down with him. We drove down a couple times, or he'd come back up with friends. Kansas City's about 3 hours to the south. And so when he came home this summer, he worked as a lifeguard all mm-hmm. summer long, saved some money. They only have at Kansas City Art Institute, they only have housing for the freshmen. You can't, as a sophomore, you have to get
your
housing off campus. So, him and five of his buddies have rented a house down there, and they took this monster deposit, like $3,000 or $4,000, ooh, something like that, for the deposit. Well, a bunch of college kids, yeah, you're gonna, those guys can do some damage. So, he sent down a $500 deposit early in the summer, and then we packed him up this morning, so I stayed home from work. So I came downstairs and I was ready for work, and I thought they had. I said, "Hey guys, I need to work today. Can you guys handle this?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, I think got it." So as I was leaving the house, nothing was ready, and I was like, oh, man, you guys are going to be all day. So I just changed clothes, called in at work, so I need to get my kid off to school. So he packed up the Pacifica and his new Honda. We got him a 92 Honda Civic, which has a huge trunk. I mean, you could put two bodies in there.
Wow. two bodies.
It's gigantic, yeah.
By New Jersey. The $3,000 deposit, is that his money he saved up or your money?
No, that's his money.
Wow, that's good.
His money, yeah.
Good job.
He's pretty much, at this point, he's pretty much on his own.
The important thing, which I don't think Tim was asking out in chat, but that's still a process, is the Google Fiber.
Oh, he is. He's jonesing for the Google Fiber for sure.
So in order to get it, they have to do you got to get enough neighbors who paid a deposit and do that kind of thing?
Right, so $10 deposit per household in the neighborhood, and I don't know what they define as a neighborhood, whether it's a set of streets or a block or.
That would be interesting because if it was just like, 50 homes, could you get you and a couple other dudes? If you can't get everybody, would you just say, dude, I'll just pay? I'll pay for the people who weren't going to pay. We're $200 short. I'll chip that in if we're going to get Google Fiber.
they are definitely, this is the kid that he was in 4G coverage with Sprint last year and tethered his phone because the university Wi-Fi wasn't good enough. So he tethered his PC to his phone and pulled down 50 gig in 1 month, 50 gig of 4G.
Wow.
Data.
I have T-Mobile, which they say is unlimited, but what they do at 5 gig is they severely restrict your bandwidth. So you still get more. They don't charge you anything extra. You can still go, but it's severely restricted. That's on my regular phone.
Yeah.
On my Galaxy Note.
Right.
That gigantic phone, which is AT&T, is just a loaner. That apparently this loan has lasted for quite a while. It is 4G LTE, and I've seen it get 25, 26 up. And right now, I'm in my basement. It's not doing that well. But just got 10 down and 7 up.
That's great.
So, yeah, the up on this is better than the up on my, cable.
Yeah, your cable modem. What are you using to measure the bandwidth there?
Speed test.
Oh, okay. That works really well on a mobile device?
Yeah, I don't know. You probably won't be able to make it out. But it's, speed test.
Is that the app?
Yeah, the app
for speed
test.
Speed test. I'll have to download that.
Speedtest.net.
Okay.
Yeah. And down here in the basement, even the ping wasn't that great. It was only 51 milliseconds, which generally is better than that.
Speed test. I'll have to download that after the show and give that a try. I haven't used that yet.
But so the Google Fiber thing, what do you think their ultimate goal there is? Do they want to canvas the whole country? Is that what they're trying to do?
I don't know. Yeah, I heard the debate on Windows Weekly about it, and no, This Week in Google. They were talking about it on Leo's show, and there was some debate as is this Google kind of firing a shot across the bow of the internet service providers to say, hey, don't stop it with the monkey business, or we'll come in and replace you with fiber, and we can do it. And not only can we do it, but people will jump at it. They'll go head over heels when we come into town.
I hope that's what they're doing. I hope they're trying to scare the crap out of those guys. Last night after Dave's show, when y'all were talking about his connection, and I have 100 down, which is really more than I need, but I only have 5 up, and I often wish I had more up. So I went and looked at the plans and thought, well, maybe not that I would buy it because the business plans are too expensive, but what do they offer on the business side? And actually, on the business side, they weren't even offering 100 down. But they didn't offer any more than 5 up. So here's a cable connection, and the best you can do is 5 up.
Well, that's artificially throttled. They could support more than that. They just don't want. I mean, that goes back to the early days. I think I mentioned on the show last night that I have been a cable modem, Cox Communication customer for 20 years, and I've been on a cable modem for maybe 12 of those years. I think I got my first cable modem I was trying to remember, it was before we moved, so it would have been 98, maybe 99, and I think at the time it was like ripping speeds of 3 down and 1 up, and that was huge
right
in those days, right? That was huge. But Cox has always been afraid that people will start running businesses out of their homes putting servers they definitely want to maximize their business traffic and sell you business plans for that stuff. So they do everything they can to block that. And so I think that 5 is very artificial. Why can I get 25 down and 5 up? I mean, I'm that's where I'm at.
Hopefully somebody like Google Fiber will come in and scare them and then or drive them out of business, and they'll make some different decisions. In an area where you have a choice between DSL and cable, I don't understand anybody who's still on DSL. And, back in, I think it was in the early 2000s or maybe even 1999, when we had DSL and they finally offered cable in our area, and it was like you said, it was maybe like 5 down, 1 up, something like that. And I decided for probably about 6 months, I had both DSL and cable.
Really?
And I had a Netgear dual WAN router, and I had set things up to where me and the Xbox went through, I think, DSL. Because the theory back then was DSL, you had your own line and you always had that speed, where cable was, the speed fluctuated too much.
Yeah.
So I put everybody else on the cable. And then it also had failover. So if one failed, it went over to the other one. That was actually pretty nice having having that.
Yeah.
But then it got hit by, it didn't get hit by anything. It was me. It got hit by me.
Oh.
I was fooling with it and I didn't ground myself.
Oh.
And I said, I hope that spark I just did didn't cause any problems. And it did. It fried. That spark, Stack Electricity both killed that dual WAN router, which was about a $300 router, and it killed a switch.
Mm.
So that's when I decided to start working on the super router.
Yeah.
And well, all history from there.
That's it. That's right. Tim Black had asked me if there's caps on Sprint. And we had just before we started this conversation, I had mentioned, my son had downloaded 50 gig of data on 4G. So obviously there are no caps. They don't throttle. He never complained about it. I didn't even get a nasty note that said, because I'd stopped looking at the bills just because there's no reason to. I pay the same amount every month. It's unlimited, right? Mm-hmm. It's, unless one of the kids are buying, buying apps or something like that, that go onto the phone, or you get text stuff. And I've taught all my kids not to do that, so I don't really see that anymore. But no nasty note, no letter. I mean, last summer about this time, I got a note, a nice note. It wasn't nasty. It was nice from Cox that said, hey, Jim, we'd really like to let you know that, we don't really say we have caps, but we really think like 200 gig is like a lot for the average user. And so we have this new tool that you can use to measure your bandwidth each month if you'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. Because last month you used 400 gig. I was like, what? And so I was snooping around while my daughter had been streaming. She'd been trying to catch up on all the Stargate Atlantis episodes before school started. And so she was watching like 6 of those a day, streaming them for 3 weeks straight. And sure enough, that will use...
I was trying to look and see if I can figure out how much mine works. And I have in-and-out packets on the router, but I don't know what time frame that is, so it doesn't do me any good.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, Jackie. That was great Jackie was out there. I didn't know she was out there.
Yeah, Jackie. She was stalking us.
Well, she was probably there the whole time. Look at that. She's typed out earlier. We just didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she still hasn't figured it out.
No. Yep. You know, Jackie, I wonder if that's even... So did you say that you'd had that happening before? I mean, I wonder if the functionality has changed in an upgrade or something and you just can't get that anymore.
So let's go back exactly. Jackie, I did not read what she had posted there, but what was the exact problem?
So let's hold on. Let me go back. Let me open up the Facebook page here so she doesn't have to type it all in.
And Jackie, since you're there, why don't you just hang out a little bit longer? Then our show's officially ended. But Jim has a great after the show conversation. So you have to hang out a little bit after the show.
Yeah, we hang out a little bit. Okay, so she says, when I open my downloads folder and then choose, my templates for Photoshop projects, I only see the Photoshop thumbnail icon. And she's called it a thingy. That's great. Not the actual template. You know how, like, when you see pictures or you see documents now, and I'm assuming, Jeff, is this in Windows 7 or is this in on a Mac?
It sounds like she's also saying that this is in Photoshop itself. Must hear.
When I open my downloads folder and then choose, say, my template for Photoshop projects, I only see the Photoshop thumbnail icon, not the actual templates. I have to click. Oop, watch your Google window there, Mike. For the warning. Are you still there? I have to click on it and open it in Photoshop to actually see which one it is. And I could see how that would be, you know, if you're just seeing the icon and not the actual template.
What do you know the extension on the Photoshop template, Jackie?
And she did say Windows 7. So yeah. She's in Windows 7. That makes sense. And then, Jackie, can you drop in the extensions in the chat as well?
Because to be honest, I have not played with templates. And
so 22 comments. No. Yeah, I think so. No, 12 comments on it.
I've not played with templates. I wonder if it's like a PSD. PSD, yeah. You're saying PSD. So the question is, how do you see PSD? That's what we need to find out. And how do you see a PSD?
Jackie, when you jack the icons all the way up to the largest size, are they still only the icons? And are they on a network drive or are they on the local drive?
And so I have it here too. I have PSDs also. So, and I jacked them all the way up to extra large icons, and it still says PSD. So I can't see them either.
Okay.
Hmm.
So maybe that's a limitation between Windows 7 and Photoshop. What version of Photoshop are you on, Mike? 6?
Well, these were created in 5, but I have 6. Yeah. So I'm going to go to my good friend, Google. See if there's any way to do this. But I'm seeing the same thing she is. So now I know at least what she's talking about. So it's you're just seeing a PS. It's just a placeholder. It says PSD, then says PS in the thing instead of a thumbnail, the actual image. And for whatever reason, Windows 7 is not able to display a thumbnail to represent what that is.
Yeah, like it does for pictures or documents or those kinds of things. And Jackie, you said that it worked before, right? I understand there's a delay in the typing here. The live stream is about 7 or 8 seconds behind. So Other Jim says, sounds like a Windows Shell extension by Adobe is not installed. Although that's not working. It's not working for you either, Mike. So maybe it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I found is you got to install a program, and that's not what we're looking for. Something called Sage Thumbs. Yeah, we don't want that.
So, Jackie, get ready. You're going to drink from the fire hose here. You got these guys in chat that are going to... No, it didn't work before. So you're expecting it to work because documents and pictures work natively, but it's never worked before.
Yeah, and they probably do show up in Bridge, which is like the file viewer inside Photoshop.
Yeah, I'm out of my element here because I just don't work with Photoshop that much. At all, I should just say.
Do you have Photoshop?
No, not at all. No, you know what? I've gotten pretty good at Paint.
Paint, that's about the same thing.
It's pretty close, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, Paint.
Hey, I've made a few average guy logos in Paint, so you know it's somebody else did the graphics. I just moved them around, but Paint works for that. Never used Bridge. She says she's never used Bridge.
Yeah, Bridge is inside of Photoshop, and that's what, as I'm looking this stuff up on Google, that's what I'm finding most people are saying. You know. Is using Bridge, which is not exactly what she's wanting to do.